from the Minnesota Superior Sound Studios. It's Wisecrackin' with Winter.
Hey, welcome back to another episode of Wisecrackin' with Winter. I'm Mike Winter, and you fucking wish you were. Action-packed show today. There's a lot to talk about.
Bullshit.
I guess for starters, I'm recording this podcast today on my iPhone 5S because I'm stuck in this miserable piece of shit traffic jam that is the metro area. It's just one big traffic jam from 4:30 until 6 o'clock at night. So I'm trying to multitask and accomplish a couple different things here while I drive home. One, get the intro of this podcast recorded. And two, release a little aggression so I don't take it out on other drivers. I guess first things first, let's go over the news. In South Dakota over the weekend, over the Badlands, if you've ever been there, it's a pretty neat place. They got 12 inches of fucking snow. Can you imagine that? 12 inches of snow in May. I can only imagine what old couples thought of that have spent, you know, most of their lives in South Dakota. They get all this snow. And then, like, the next day, there's a fucking tornado that rips through the middle of the state. Just imagine that. Like, some old lady yelling at her husband, "God damn it, Earl, get outside and shovel that snow. It's me. Why did you put away the snowblower? Why did you put away the shovels? I told you, you better not put them away." "Oh, shut up, devil woman. I'll get out there and get that shoveled, I suppose." And this old guy's out there shoveling snow in May, and he's just bitter, and he's just pissed, you know? So he gets that all cleaned up, comes in the house. "It's all done."
"Well, it took you long enough. Your dinner's cold."
"Goddamn bitch." And he sits down, eats his plate of whatever old people eat in South Dakota. More than likely spam and like some sort of a root vegetable like a beet or radishes. So then the next day the sun comes up and all the walks shoveled, excuse me, and everything is good in their world, and then a fucking tornado roars through town, rips up all the businesses and the fields and their, more than likely, their home.
"God damn it, Earl, get out of the basement and go clean up the house that's laying all over what's left of our front yard."
"Ah, god damn it." And he's outside picking up his house. "We're moving to someplace safe. We're moving to Oklahoma." I'll just wait for you to get done laughing. I hope you caught that. Also in the news, you got the New England Patriots with the whole Deflategate. Tom Brady suspended 4 games. The team is fined $1 million. They lost their first round pick for 2016. And they lost their fourth round pick for 2017. All because the balls weren't up to the right PSI. You gotta give me a fucking break. I personally could care less. He could go out there and throw it with 1 pound of air in it. What the hell does it matter? I think it's just from quarterback to quarterback to quarterback. It's just a different comfort level for each guy, and maybe some guys like a stiffer ball, maybe they like a softer ball. I know my friend Pat, he likes softballs. It all goes It's all subjective. It's all, I mean, I just don't understand why it matters. It really shouldn't matter. I don't understand why it's a rule. And they convicted him on a bunch of text messages sent between equipment managers, ragging on Brady because the balls aren't right. And Tom's getting on him about having the balls at the right PSI. So they're ragging. Oh, what a tough job. Wah. I'm the equipment manager for the fucking New England Patriots. Oh, my life is so fucking hard. I gotta find a needle and I gotta put air in the ball. And if it's not at the right weight, then the quarterback rags on me. And then I gotta go out and find a needle and I gotta let some of the air out. Wah! Jesus. Oh. Who cares? Have the damn balls at any PSI you want from, you know, starting next year. One other thing. I would love to retell a joke from one of my favorite comedians, and his name is Jim Brewer. And I saw this routine. It's a routine, not a joke. I saw it on YouTube that somebody posted. So I'm going to redo Jim Brewer's routine. And I hope I do it justice, but here it goes. When you go out drinking, your stomach is kind of like the bouncer of your own personal body bar. Okay? It's either letting people in or it's letting it all out. So imagine your first group is a bunch of beers. And beers are a bunch of good time buddies. You know, all beers get along well. You got your domestics, and you got your German beer, then you got your malt liquor. They all get along good. So you imagine they go up to your stomach, who's the bouncer, like, "Hey, dude, why don't you let us in? It's time to have a party. Woo! I got my friend malt liquor here. I got some light beers. I got some regular beers, dog. Come on, bro. Let us all in. It's time to party." And your stomach is like, "Bah. Yeah, you guys usually don't tear the place up too bad and you get along okay. Go ahead. Go on in there and have a good time, but behave yourselves." And they're all like, "Woo!" They're all partying in your stomach. Then up next, there's a knock on the door. Because when there's a good party, you know, everybody wants to come. Your stomach's like, "Who is it?"
"Oh, it's your good friend Irish Whiskey, Mr. Jameson here. Me and the lads want to come in and sit for a few minutes and maybe tell a few tall tales about the homeland and have a good cry and eat a potato. Let us come in."
"All right, but only a couple of you guys. The beers are already in there." You know, beers see the Irish whiskey. "Yes! Irish whiskey guys! Hey, you dudes, come on in here! Hey!" So now you got the whiskey partying with the beer. And everybody's getting along okay, so your stomach is not too worried yet. It's getting a little tense. It's getting a little crowded in there, let's be honest. Okay, then you got the next knock at the door. You know who that is. It's... Your stomach comes over. "Who is it?"
"Hey, dude, let us in, homie. Come on, brah, let us in."
Oh, it's fucking tequila. Tequila's never good news. "I'm not letting you guys in here. The last time you were in, you tore the place up. And why is it every time you show up to come to the party, there's always nine of you? How come there can't just be one of you vatos by himself?"
"Oh, come on, Holmes, let us in. We won't bust the place up. We even left the worm in the car, homie. No fighting, it's all good. Let us in, let us in."
"All right, but I'm just letting one of you guys. The rest of you guys got to stay out here and wait."
"Fine, Holmes, fine."
So, you know, the tequila goes in. And, of course, he starts shit. So then that distracts your stomach bouncer. He's like, "Oh, what the hell's going on in here? What the fuck?" And, you know, when he's got his back turned, then the rest of the tequila guys, they all sneak in. "Hey, homie, come on. He's got his attention diverted. Come on, man. Come on in. Let's party." And then before you know it, there's just a massive... crazy party going on in your stomach. And before you know it, the bouncer just loses all control. And that's when it happens. It's like, okay, you guys, I warned you. It's getting out of control, everybody. And that's when you throw up. And that's when it's all over. I hope I did the routine justice. Thank you very much, Jim Brewer.
I'm sure.
Now on with the show.
Okay, moving along with the show, I have a very special guest. Direct. From the sunny city of Chicago, that toddling town, your favorite and mine, Johnny Pizzle. Johnny, are you there?
Yes, Michael, I'm here.
John, it is good to hear your voice. Good to have you back in the Playhouse, my friend.
It's good to be back. Thanks for the call, Michael.
So, John, you recently went for a trip on a jet airplane.
I did leave on a jet plane.
All the way to London town. Ontario.
Oh. You know, that's almost blasphemy because I've been to Ontario and there's really no comparison.
So clear it up. You went to the London in the United Kingdom?
I did. I went to London, England, which is in the UK. You are correct.
You crossed the pond. You threw a shrimp on the Barbie.
A shrimp on the Barbie. Oh, Jesus Christ. I did take a transatlantic flight to the one and only London town.
Nice. How long did the flight take?
You know, it's not a bad flight. It's about 8 hours. A little bit less than that going there, and then coming back, it's a little bit more than that.
Did you fly Spirit Airlines?
No, Spirit doesn't go to London, unfortunately, or I would have been on that fucking plane.
Spirit doesn't go fucking anywhere.
Well, they go surprisingly... They go to a decent amount of cities considering how small they are. I mean, they go to fucking, like, Peru.
They go to fucking Peru?
I think so.
That's a one-way trip. There's no way that they fly out of Peru. I could see them flying to Peru and hitting a fucking mountain.
Oh, God. Well, I hope that doesn't happen. They go to a few foreign countries that are semi-close.
They suck. I hate Spirit. Who did you fly?
I flew... British Airways operated by American Airlines. You know how they partner up.
They're limeys and they know how to fly. Is that their slogan?
I don't think that's exactly it. No, so I flew American there, basically, is how they do it. And then you fly British Airways back.
Ah.
And I have to say, British Airways obliterates American Airlines. American Airlines is fucking ridiculous.
How long is the flight?
I think you asked me that already, and I told you 8 hours.
I wasn't listening.
No.
John, how long is the flight?
How'd you pull your head out of your ass?
Hey, John, I had a tough fucking day, all right? I'm sorry. For the 100 people or so that listen to this podcast. I do it for them. I don't do it for me.
Oh, okay.
It's selfless. Is what it
you
is.
Are selfless. You're like motherfucking Teresa.
I am. So 8 hours on a jet airplane. What's that like?
Well, I have to say on the way there, I had nobody sitting next to me, so I really got to spread out.
Get those legs nice. Open wide.
Yeah, because, I don't know, kind of by the end, your knees kind of buckle after 8 hours, so I was kind of ready to stand up and walk.
Was there an in-flight movie?
You know, that's what sucks about American Airlines, because on the way there, the in-flight entertainment wasn't working, so there were no fucking movies. Zero. And each seat didn't even have its own little mini television. There was like a group TV, like every, you know, 5-10 rows that you all had to watch together, which was bullshit.
Was it the Amistad flight?
It could have been. I felt like I was in shackles. But although I had to sit
on the way back, on the floor next to other people. For the flight?
I did. Some of which were corpses.
Oh, my God.
No, but I have to say, on the way back, British Airways just does it right. You have your own little television. Nice. Everything's on demand. You have multiple movies to check. You can check out. You have radio shows. You have albums, complete albums. I mean, I wish they flew out of here.
The Limeys know how to fly.
They do. They do it right.
Except the Concorde.
Gosh, I would have loved to have flown the Concorde.
They didn't do that one so right.
What was wrong with it, though?
It exploded. One of the flights exploded.
Oh, is that why they stopped it?
Yeah.
Oh, I never heard about that. I heard about the Concorde, but I didn't know that's how it ended. I knew they didn't do it anymore.
Well, that it wasn't that cost effective, I don't think. It was really expensive to fly on the Concorde.
Okay, it was just for rich people, basically, right?
Yep. Rich people, athletes, movie stars, Chili's waiters.
I had heard, who was talking about? Oh, like one of Prince's ex-band members flew the Concorde. This was back in the Purple Rain days. And they were just talking about how you're so far up, you can kind of see, like, the circumference of the planet. Like, it's kind of curved, you know?
I'm glad you cleared that up, because I could have swore that was Sign of the Times days.
No, that was not Sign of the Times days. Get it right.
So you touch down on the island, and what do you do first?
Well, you got to go through customs, which was pretty painless, and got a ticket, or not a ticket, but you get an Oyster card, which is basically a pass that allows you to use the train system there, which is called the Underground, a.k.a. the Tube.
The Tube.
The Tube. So I got a 7-day pass for the Tube, got on that fucker, went to my hotel, dropped my bags, was ready to take on the city, and I said, you know what, before I do that, because, you know, you've basically been out for 24 hours, I'm just gonna lay down for a sec. You know, I just need to lay down for a sec. Just shut my eyes for a sec.
Super 8 has really comfortable beds.
I wouldn't know. Yeah, cut to me waking up about 7 hours later at about 2 a.m.
All right.
Wide awake. So I basically blew my first day.
Tragic. But your body needed rest for what was coming. So you're up at 2 a.m.
I should have been smarter, though. I should have just knew what was my body was about to do and said, no, have a coffee, fucking walk around, don't fucking sleep your first day there. It's a waste.
Yeah.
But I've forgiven myself.
Did you turn on the telly and watch a little Benny Hill or Monty Python?
Yeah, they play nonstop over there.
On a loop, nice.
On a loop, that's all they play. You have one or the other. Or Sherlock Holmes movies. No, I did watch a lot of TV, actually, in the morning. I love their morning shows.
Tell us about that.
I don't know if it's very exciting.
I'm on the edge of my fucking seat already.
Well,
you got there and took a nap. Fucking awesome.
That's pretty riveting, I know. Let's talk about morning television.
All right.
That's not.
Why is it so compelling? Tell us in one word why that's so compelling. Why is
you know what's compelling?
I said one word.
It's going to be one more than one word. I can't do it in one word.
All right.
Can I have a couple?
Three.
You know what they have at 2 a.m. in the morning when you wake up jet lagged?
British whore waiting for you?
No, live casino on TV.
Live casino?
You call in and you play blackjack. You play roulette.
Russian roulette.
Yeah, there's the 21. I already said blackjack.
Right.
Yeah, you call in and they just take your credit card and you gamble you're to your heart's content all night long. You just gamble away your life savings all via the telephone and television. It's brilliant.
It's like a direct feed into like some guy's basement where he has a blackjack table set up or what?
No, it's there's a host. There's a host talking to live callers who are about to be evicted because they can't pay rent. No, but they and then every like 20 minutes they'll have like a little PSA announcement about the dangers of gambling and the addictiveness of it.
Of course, yeah.
Ways to be responsible.
Mm-hmm. And then on with the show. We got John from America. He's sitting down. My British accent is terrible. Can I just do it as Bill Cosby? What if Bill Cosby could be the host? Okay, we got John Pizzle from America! Hey, John, how you doing?
Bill, I'm wonderful. You know, I could use a coffee.
Oh, someone's a little jet lag. Oh.
I heard you make a mean espresso.
I do make a mean espresso. I do, but it's time now to play blackjack, UK style. Okay, John, you know what I'm saying? You got a king. Are you going to hit or stay? Dealer has a five.
I'm going to hit.
Dealer gives you a six. Oh, what are you going to do, John? You got 16 against the dealer's five.
I'm going to stay.
Stick in like Kentucky Fried Chicken.
Do you think Bill Cosby would ever say that?
Oh, I hope not.
That's really... Yeah. So then Bill flips up a 6 and then a 10, and then you lose.
Looks like Bill's taking your money all the way to the narcotics store, John. What?
Well, I'm sorry to hear that, but Bill?
Yes? Claire?
What about that coffee?
Rudy?
Vanessa?
This really went a weird direction. So you watched a little video casino. Did you gamble at all?
No. I was fascinated, though, that these shows even existed. They weren't even on just one channel. There were multiple channels.
Wow. Like multiple games?
Multiple shows, all kind of similar casino games, different hosts. And I just wondered, like, who is up right now fucking gambling?
You.
I didn't gamble. I've watched people gamble because there's nothing more exciting than watching someone gamble.
Huh. Did anybody win big? Did they win a lot of quid or pounds or sterling or whatever it is?
All three were correct.
Oh, okay. Pat myself on the back. Public school's paying off.
Yeah.
I don't even know if anybody won. I ended up forcing myself to go back to sleep, and then I woke up maybe like 4 hours later.
All right, so you get up.
Right early.
I get up. I have my coffee. I have my coffee. I have my scones with clotted cream and jam. Have you ever had that?
No, I'm not a limey fuck.
They're fucking delicious. Let me just tell you, the clotted cream is like, it's like a mouthful of heaven. And yeah, man, I tore through London. I pissed away the first day, but then every day after that, I was just jammed with something to do. I didn't waste a minute.
What was your first stop after your Regal breakfast? Well,
I studied there about 5 years ago, and I had to get back to my old neighborhood. So I took the train over there, had lunch at my favorite spot, burger and a beer, £10. You can't beat the price.
What is that in American dollars?
Right now, a pound is $1.60. So the exchange rate isn't great. It's better than when I lived there. It was like $1.80. So everything was almost double when I lived there.
Uh-huh.
I went broke, basically. I lived on credit cards because I ran out of money pretty fast.
You did what you had to do to earn money, though. Right.
Oh, always. I always do what I have to do.
Sometimes I don't even have to do it. I just want to.
Uh-huh.
So yeah, better exchange rate. Had my favorite meal, my favorite place. Kicked it off right.
Had a big 10-pound burger for
the burger didn't weigh 10 pounds. It cost 10 pounds.
I thought you were just being a pig.
This time no, I held back. And you know what was going on there while I was there? That was nonstop talk of the town.
Baltimore?
The general elections.
The general elections in London?
Prime Minister. Yeah, they were they were trying to elect a new Prime Minister, but they didn't succeed because they're still stuck with the same dude.
I thought Queen Elizabeth was in charge.
Nah, she's just for show. She just lives off the riches of the country and doesn't do shit, basically.
Lazy bitch.
Yeah. Well, what are you going to do when your fucking face is on the money?
You know what I would do? If I was her, I'd strip down to bare naked, let all them wrinkles hang out, and just get what's the paper money there called? A pound?
Pounds, sterling, quid.
Okay, what's the highest denomination of a pound? Well, I don't fucking get this stupid. What's the highest denomination bill you can get?
I don't know. I've never seen anything bigger than a 50-pound note, I think.
Okay. If I was her, I would get like two fistfuls of 50-pound notes and get naked and lay down on her bed, spread eagle, and just like, I'll make it rain, bitches, and just throw that over her head. Just lay in bed all day and just having somebody come in and pick up all the pounds and sterlings and crowns and quids off the fucking floor again, hand them back to her on a silver platter just so she can reach her gnarled up old fucking arthritic hands and make it rain! Make it rain! What a great life.
You're one twisted fuck.
What a great life that would be.
To luxuriate in the money that your face is on.
My face is on all these notes. She could have you fucking killed. You ever realize that?
Yeah, absolutely. She probably, I'm not even going to say it. I'm not going to put it out there.
Huh. Did you stop by the palace?
I did stop by the palace because you know what else happened when I was there? The princess was born.
Oh, did you get to watch?
I did get to watch. I was the midwife.
Fuck. You like your hands in that?
I got my hands all up in it.
Fuck.
No, I woke up and they announced, I was just kind of watching the morning television as I do.
Mm-hmm.
And they said the princess was born. I'm like, ah, fuck it. What am I going to do all day? Why didn't I go to the palace? See what's going on.
Huh.
So I did. It was jammed with people trying to take pictures of the birth announcement. And I don't know. I'm not a big fan of crowds. So I kind of like took a couple pictures and left. But
was the queen in the delivery room too? Push, bitch, push! Throwing 50-pound notes at her.
Town.
What? She wasn't around for her great grandkid being born.
I thought they had said she was out of town while the baby was born, and that she was on her way back in from because she doesn't stay at the palace full time. Like there's other palaces throughout the country that she stays at.
So of course.
Yeah. But, yeah, I don't know. Apparently she was coming back to see the new baby and everything. But I think, did you hear the name?
I couldn't care less, but tell us all anyway.
Charlotte, as a tribute to Charles. Elizabeth, a tribute to the Queen. Diana, a tribute to Princess Diana.
Well, so, three first names?
I know. It's a bit much. It's a mouthful.
That's too much.
But you know what are you going to do? You got important people in your life. You have to tribute. You might not have another kid. Got to just knock it all out.
Why couldn't they name her something classy like Tiffany Windsor?
What about Bambi?
Bambi, Tiffany, Elizabeth, Diana Windsor.
That's beautiful.
How'd you like to see that on a commemorative plate?
I'd like to see that on a tramp stamp.
So you stopped and you looked at the telly and you watched the baby come out of the pussy. Then what'd you go do?
Went and saw a show.
Oh, all right.
I saw a few shows, actually. That night I went and saw The Woman in Black. Have you ever heard of that?
No.
It was made into a movie. I think it was one of the first ones that Daniel Radcliffe did after Harry Potter. He played the lead guy.
He's still acting?
Yeah, he's still acting here.
After Harry Potter, he's kind of, you know, he's kind of over.
He does a lot of small movies. He doesn't really choose roles that are like big like that.
Because he can't get them.
Well, I don't know. Maybe, but it doesn't seem like that with him. He seems like he just kind of is choosy, which he can be because he's probably a billionaire.
Oh, no question.
But it's, yeah, the show, it's called The Woman in Black. It's kind of like, I don't know, it's kind of like a creepy story, but it's really famous over there, and it's been on the West End for years. I think it's from a book, if I'm not mistaken.
The same author who wrote Harry Potter?
No. The author is Susan Hill, and I don't know what else she's done.
Who wrote the Harry Potter books?
J.K. Rowling?
If I was Radcliffe, I'd be eating J.K. Rowling's box every day, thanking her for the billions of quid that went in that guy's pocket.
So, well, and I think his parents are already rich, so it's kind of it's all going to somebody who doesn't even fucking deserve it.
He probably doesn't even fucking care.
He probably doesn't. He's probably annoyed by it.
He's probably over at Queen Elizabeth's house making it rain with her.
Could be.
Make it rain, Daniel. Make it rain. Watch and see how I do it.
I will make it rain, Queen Mom.
Make it rain. Stick those pounds in my old box.
Oh, Mike. Have some respect for the elderly, goddammit.
I'm sorry. So, Woman in Black.
Lady Woman in Black.
Whatever.
Creepy. No, I think it's Woman in Black. Creepy little play. Very good. Very well done. Afterwards, had a couple pints. It was lightly raining, walking through the streets of Soho/Chinatown.
Okay.
Foggy, rainy, creepy, dark, winding cobblestone roads.
I'm with you.
It was perfect.
Did Lord Voldemort come out?
No, but I did have a few guys in... I guess I really can't decipher what kind of accent it was, but they were inviting me to see private sex shows.
What?
Yeah, it's kind of like their little red light district there. And they're very persuasive.
Like how so?
Like, there's body contact. They grab your arm.
Really?
Yeah. They're very friendly. There's always a smile, but it's like pulling you towards a doorway. Like, I'm good.
What kind of sex shows, John? Donkeys?
I don't know. I'm not into that. I don't go into those kinds of things, so I kind of stayed away.
You weren't the slightest bit curious?
I was curious as to what I would have been seeing, but not curious enough to walk my ass in there.
Hmm.
Because what if it's a snuff film and I'm the fucking star? Lights out.
8mm Part 2 starring John Pizzle.
You know?
The Machine, I love your work. That was a vague reference from 8mm, if you've never seen it.
I didn't see it. It went right over my fucking head.
Speaking of things that are going over your head, have you heard that Minnesota Superior Sound has not been completely booked up for the summer yet?
Shut the fuck up. It's already almost June. How does that even happen?
Shut the front door. Minnesota Superior Sound, Minnesota's self-acclaimed number one DJ service for weddings, birthday parties, etc.
What about a bar mitzvah?
Sure. All the Jewish high holidays. They can be there for that. Bar mitzvahs, bat mitzvahs. What's the thing where they cut the kids? Part of the kids?
Bris.
A bris.
They love a good DJ for a bris.
Absolutely. And Minnesota Superior Sound would be happy to do that for you. Visit. For the right amount of money, they'll even perform the act. They'll perform the bris.
What about a quinceañera?
A what?
A quinceañera.
I don't hablo.
That's when a Mexican girl turns 15.
I bet they do those. I bet they could wrestle up some good Spanish music and head right over there. Visit them at mnsuperiorsound.com. Mention the podcast and receive a $50 discount. And as long as I'm doing spots, John, we have a new partner. Burnsville Towing. Burnsville Towing, located in Savage, Minnesota, can serve all your auto repair needs. Towing, auto repair, auto repair, towing. They can do it all. They can do both. They can do both of those simultaneously.
Tow your car and repair it at the same time.
I bet they could. Don't quote me on it.
unbelievable.
I bet if they put their minds to it, they probably could fix your car as it's being towed over at Burnsville Towing.
But I'd have to ask, if it's being fixed whilst being towed,
yes,
would it even need to be towed in the first place?
Probably not. But they do such a good job of towing cars, John. You wouldn't mind.
It is an art, because you can definitely tow a car incorrectly.
You can tow a car incorrectly. I've seen it done.
No, I'm saying that with seriousness, yes.
Yes, yes.
So I'm glad you partnered up with somebody who knows what the fuck they're doing.
Yes, Burnsville Towing. Burnsville Towing. Burnsville Towing. Savage, Minnesota. Look them up on the internet. I don't have the phone number in front of me. Don't be such a lazy fuck that you can't look up a phone number. Burnsville Towing. Call them today. Okay, so John, we're in London. You just politely excused yourself from seeing a sex show.
I did.
And then what do you do?
I kind of called it a night. That's pretty boring, isn't it?
I'd like to tell you.
Well, Mike, I'm pushing 40. Am I really going to go out and fucking party till the wee hours?
You're in London. Did you go alone?
I did, but I do know people there.
It's not like you got your wife along, yip-yapping her in the ear. God damn it, John. I want to go back to the room. I'm tired. Oh, my feet hurt. You don't walk in heels, John. You have no idea. You're ruining our trip, John, with your drinking.
Wait a minute. You're ruining the trip with the drinking?
Huh? I'm just play acting. I don't know.
Oh, because I was going to say. Nothing at all.
So you go back to bed. I think we're on day three now.
No, I got home pretty late. So yeah, I crashed, woke up. I hit up London's very first vegetarian pub.
You fucking psycho. Really?
I know. It was fucking delicious. All the pub classics, but vegetarian.
Oh, fun.
It was fun. Mike, why don't you open your mind? You know, it doesn't need to be a side of beef to be delicious, okay?
Well, what'd you have? I mean, what's the house specialty?
I didn't have the house specialty because it sounded weird.
Was it a Vegemite sandwich?
Well, no. You know how fish and chips is big over there?
Mm-hmm.
This is called tofush and chips.
Oh, huh.
So it's two breaded pieces of tofu, battered and fried, and chips and mushy peas. It's the classic fish and chip sides. I didn't have it, though. I wasn't ready for it. What's wrong with tofu, Mike? They eat it in Asia all the time. Open your mind.
I don't have to go that far east to throw up.
Have you ever had tofu?
No.
You know, it can be good. Okay.
Are you a vegan?
I'm a vegetarian.
Just a vegetarian.
Sometimes.
Otherwise known as a lazy vegan.
A lazy vegan. You know, you can think of it as laziness. I prefer to think of it as keeping my options open.
I guess. But didn't you have a hamburger?
No, I didn't have a hamburger.
You said you went to 10 pounds and a burger.
Yeah, a burger and a beer. You know, it doesn't need to be meat to be a burger, Mike.
Oh, so they had the
Why don't you open your mind?
So they had the vegetarian option at the burger restaurant.
Oh, yeah. Veggie burgers are big. Well, it's a huge... There's a lot of vegetarians in town, partially because there are a lot of Indians in town. So
there's Native Americans in London?
No, not Native Americans, Michael. Whoa. Did you hear that?
No, I didn't hear that.
Yeah, I heard it. It was a fucking email on your fucking phone. Interrupting this podcast, and I feel disrespected for your listeners.
Well, you know what? I just turned the do not disturb on.
I'm having deja vu, because I think you did that the last time it happened.
I always turn it on about, you know, 25 minutes into the interview.
And I feel like it's 100% ineffective.
Apple product shitbox.
So, you know what I saw there in London, I have to tell you. What? Have you seen the Book of Mormon?
I have. I saw it here in Minneapolis.
I had no idea it was going to be that irreverent.
define irreverent for those of us with public school.
Irreverent. God, how would you define irreverent? Not politically.
Then why would
correct.
You use it if you can't define it?
I just defined it and you interrupted me.
I'm sorry. Again.
Not politically correct.
Oh.
Offensive.
Okay. Is this show irreverent?
Oh, yeah. It's 100% because of you. I try to dial you back a couple notches.
And you dial it back all you want, but my knob goes to 11.
Yeah, it sure does, Mike. It sure does. When you're talking about the Queen of England's genitals, I think you could say you're irreverent, okay?
I'd come there, I'd blow the dust off that shit, and I'd fucking hit
it. Oh, God. Don't get me kicked out of the country, okay? It's my absolute favorite place to be in the world.
You kicked yourself out. You're not there anymore. Oh. So you saw the play. You saw the Mormon thing.
Yes, it was fucking hilarious. I highly recommend it to those who have never seen it.
Better with a British accent.
There were no British accents. They had American accents because it's an American play.
Right.
So, yeah, it was kind of like, I guess I could have seen it here. It probably would have been very similar. Mm-hmm. But, holy shit, they really go there.
They go there and they go past there and they go down the street and they take a sharp right and just keep going.
Absolutely. I mean, I guess you could expect it from the writers of South Park, but I just didn't think that they would like put all that into a musical. It was really funny.
The singing got to be a little much for me, but it is a musical.
You know, I have to say I'm not a big musical fan either, but I like plays better, but I thought it was really funny. And the music was actually good, you know, even though they're singing about having women being circumcised and whatnot.
Uh-huh.
Dark material. They managed to make a catchy tune out of it, is what I'm saying.
Well worth the quid?
Yeah, I spent a lot of money on that one. Shit. It's like $200.
What? Did you sit up front? Did Gallagher come out and smash a watermelon over the crowd when it ended? I mean, what do you get should've. For 200 quid? Was it quid or pounds or sterling?
It's all the same. Quid is kind of like shorthand for pounds.
Oh.
And pounds is British sterling is the currency name.
What about,
you got it?
What do they call the change, like coins?
Pence. Yeah.
Hmm.
Or P. So if something's 50 pence, usually they'd say it's 50p.
They're too lazy to say pence. Just like they were too lazy to win the Revolutionary War, John.
Exactly.
Oh, the cops are coming. You think that's Queen Elizabeth's secret police?
Well, if it is, they should be after you, not me, because I've been nothing but respectful of the Queen. And I'd like to take a minute right now to say how much I appreciated the Queen for letting me into her beautiful country.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead and lick her boots, John. See where that gets you.
I will. It's going to get me to London, where I want to be. Thank you.
Do you want to move there someday? Want to turn your back on America? Fucking commie?
Yeah, I do want to. I know, real talk, I do want to move there. I would love to live there. I'd love nothing more than to move over there, but it's not easy. It's actually pretty difficult if you're not from a country that's in the European Union.
Mm-hmm. They don't want us.
They don't. You know, basically, to get a work visa there, to work there, you have to have a company sponsor you, which means they have to prove to their government that they can't fill your position with a citizen. And I don't do any specialized work that's gonna happen for me. But even if you do have a job that's not waiting tables, it's still difficult to have a company do that for you. It's got to be a pretty important job. You know what I mean? So basically, I'm left with traveling there and then just staying there illegally, like so many people do to our beautiful country.
Right.
Or I could find somebody to marry.
That's an option. You're single.
Hey. But yeah, I think it's kind of a pipe dream, but in the back of my mind, I still think about it. Like I'd like to be there eventually someday.
Cool.
Yeah.
So you saw the play, you liked it. So now we're on like day 4 or 5.
Yeah, I ended up seeing another show, which you're going to laugh at me about. I saw Les Mis.
I thought you saw a Teen Beach movie.
No, I didn't see a Teen Beach movie. What the fuck are you talking about?
They made it into a musical. Or no, High School High, or whatever that... See, now the joke's
High School Musical?
No, what the fuck was that?
From Justin to Kelly?
No, Teen Beach movie.
What the fuck is Teen Beach movie? You're making shit up.
No, it's just a Disney thing, musical they did.
Well, I don't have children, okay?
Oh. Well, thanks. If you did, you knew what the fuck it was, John. It's Teen Beach movie, and you should have saw it. Les Miserables. Now, that's in French, right?
No, it's not in French. It originated in France, in Paris, I believe. But the musical that's known and loved today is all in English.
Oh, that, you know what? That's the musical that's about when they just gave up when the Nazis invaded, and then we had to come and bail them out. Is that what it's about?
The Nazis? This is it takes place in France.
Right, the Nazis invaded France.
Is it about the Nazis? Because I don't remember.
I think it is. It's about how the Nazis invaded, the French gave up immediately, and then we came in to save them. I thought that was Les Miserables.
If that's what it's about, the actual musical doesn't have the part where the Americans go in and save them.
Oh, of course they leave that out.
Well, they're fighting against somebody, but everything's all the dialogue song. Like, there's literally not a spoken word in this particular play, and it's 3 hours long. So you really have to be committed. And it was, I have to say, it was epic. It was pretty amazing. And I don't like musicals, but to follow the actual story, you really have to be listening while they're singing. And I know that it was just, they were defeated by somebody. I can't remember who they were fighting. If you're saying it's the Nazis, I guess that would make sense. But it kind of ends with them being defeated.
Huh.
Yeah.
Maybe one of these days I'll sit down and give that one a look.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. I after I saw it the next day, I sort of looked at clips online from the movie they released of it a couple years ago with Hugh Jackman, I think, played the lead role. And then like Anne Hathaway, I think she got an Academy Award for her role in that. And I couldn't sit through any of their performances. I thought it sucked. So I don't know if it just doesn't translate to the screen or if I just was in a different mood that day. But yeah, I don't know. I would recommend it to you, but you're never going to go see it. So. Go fuck yourself.
Yeah, I probably won't. So you did that.
Yeah, you know what I did do, though, that I think you would have enjoyed?
All right.
I went and saw my favorite comedian.
Okay, who's that?
Live in a small club. His name's James Acaster. He was just starting out when I was living there like 5 years ago. And I saw him. We went kind of like on a group night out to see new comedians, and I just remembered him. I thought he was super funny, and I kept track of him all these years, and now he's huge over there and in Australia. And I looked him up. I said, you know, I gotta catch this guy.
Star.
Yeah, he's doing well for himself, but he was headlining a small club in South London, and I managed to snag a ticket, and it was really awesome. It was great. He packed the house, and he just started eviscerating these three people sitting up front who were giving him shitty looks all night.
Give me a couple of his snappy one-liners.
I can't remember if I can remember his one-liners, but at the end, he's had a really dry sense. He has a really dry sense of humor. So you kind of have to appreciate that to like him, which most people did who were there. But by the end, it was kind of wrapping it up, and he's like, you know, I have to say, I love what I do, but when you've got three assholes sitting right in front of you giving you shitty looks all night, it makes it pretty difficult. And he's just like, why would you come to a comedy show if you don't want to fucking laugh? What are you doing here? And he just kind of went off on a little tirade for about 5 minutes.
I could see how that would bring the house down.
It was pretty awesome. And, yeah, he ended up going over his time, so everybody had to run out to catch the last train out of town. But it was pretty good.
Cool. Did you get all liquored up? Do something stupid?
I did. Yeah, I got liquored up that night and met some friends, and we all went had more drinks. It's weird because, like, pubs there aren't open that late. So you kind of got until maybe 11 o'clock midnight and you're done. Unless you want to go to like a club, which I'm not into doing that anymore.
You didn't go to one club?
No. Why? I'm sorry, but it just doesn't sound appealing. Like, not even here. I can't think of one reason I would ever want to be in a club again.
Well, all the original music.
At this point in your life, don't you want to just be in a place where you can hear each other talk, enjoy a few cocktails?
Depends on who I'm fucking with.
Not be a part of like a meat markety scene where you've got douchebags trying to take a chick. I mean, I don't know. It's just, I can't do that anymore.
No, you're over it. You're past
it. I'm over it. I'm too old.
You flew over it.
I have flown over it. This bird has flown.
Flew that fucking coop. So you saw the stand-up. So now your last day, this is where you do the legendary thing, which is...
Oh, what did I do? Well, that was my last day. I did the comedy and the drinking.
Okay, so that was John's UK trip. That was brought to you by Minnesota Superior Sound and your friends over at Burnsville Towing. Burnsville Towing. Burnsville Towing.
Is this your private towing company?
No. My brother-in-law's.
So you're putting him on your show for free?
Yeah. Well, they've done some stuff for me. Some stuff.
Some stuff. They've taken care of some things.
Some things.
As one might say.
Yeah. I had a problem, and they fixed the problem.
They took care of it for you.
They took care of it. Forget about it.
They drove it up to the woods.
No.
They took care of it.
No. It's a reputable business. They do a good job. And, John, your trip sounds absolutely fucking fantastic, and I hope you write it all down into a screenplay so they can make it into a movie, because I would be the first one in line to see that.
You know
picture.
What? You're full of shit, first of all. I didn't even scratch the surface of my trip because you're rushing me. You're rushing me through this meaningful experience.
Meaningful?
Yeah, it was meaningful, Mike. It was a coming of home of sorts.
Home?
Yeah.
You're from Eagan. Minnesota.
I'm not from Eagan, first of all.
I thought you were.
No, my mom has a place in Mendota Heights, but I'm not from Eagan.
Okay, fine.
Which is neighboring Mendota Heights.
You're from Mendota Heights.
I am not. I'm not claiming Mendota Heights.
Where are you from then?
You want to get into it, Mike? I'll tell you.
Let's just get into it. Where are you fucking from?
I originated from the Twin Ports area, Duluth Superior.
Holla!
Holla! And
so how's going to London coming home?
It's my home away from home. It's my home in my heart. How about that?
Cool.
Mike, smart ass.
All right. Most meaningful thing that happened, go.
I had sticky toffee pudding with custard sauce. Boom. Drop the mic.
Well, John, we've hit that magical minute mark.
Thank God.
And I want to thank you again for being on.
Sure.
And let's talk about what I've learned. What I've learned today is I can't do the comedy routines as good as Jim Brewer. You wouldn't know what I'm talking about, John. That's something I recorded earlier. I've learned I don't like sitting in the rush hour in the rain. I've learned that if I'm going to London, I don't know if I'm going with John. Based on what I fucking heard. No clubs.
We didn't even get to my rugby game, but that's all right.
Oh, wait. Okay. Overtime.
No.
Rugby game.
Over.
No, why would you skip?
Have a good night.
Why would you skip the rugby game? And not tell me about that.
We didn't get there, okay, Mike?
We're here. I just pulled the car up. I just put it in park. Take your seatbelt off. Let's get out and look at the rugby game.
Part 2 coming real soon, folks.
What? I want to know about the rugby game. Tell me about the rugby game.
It was wild. It was bloody.
Yeah.
It was intense.
Mm-hmm.
It was jaw-dropping.
A lot of neo-Nazis there. Screaming at the black players. Like in their football games.
Screaming nothing but support.
So you enjoyed the rugby game.
Fucking loved it. Cool. I think it's the first sport I actually enjoy.
Do you even understand how it works? Because I don't.
I kind of got the gist as I was watching it. It kind of seems like, they compare it to American football, and I guess the shape of the ball is the same, but the object is different. I don't know. I kind of get it.
Big crowd. What are you eating?
Huge crowd. Oh, I'm done eating. Can you hear noise in the background?
Yeah, I can hear that.
Oh.
So can our listeners.
Sorry, guys. I'm just carrying apart a plastic bag.
That's professional.
It is. I'm sorry. I didn't know you could hear it. Shit. What else can you fucking hear?
Everything.
Did you hear that?
Is that your zipper going down?
No, that's been down all the whole time.
Fuck. Okay, so I've learned that I'd like to go to a rugby game with John. First opportunity.
You really would.
No, I think I would. You can explain it to me. I would like to go see rugby with John. And not necessarily in London. I mean, anywhere. John and I are going to go to a rugby game. Thanks a lot for listening, everybody. And I will be back next week, hopefully, if I get around to it. You guys stay sassy. Bye.
Hi, I'm Mitch Helgrud, executive producer of Wisecracking with Winter. On behalf of Mike and myself, I want to thank you for listening and subscribing. For all the Apple users out there, you already have the podcast app, so subscribing is easy. But for the Android people out there, it's a little more involved. So go to getwisecracking.com and click on the link to subscribe to the podcast.